you know, and the baby boomers or subsequent generations know about.
Yeah, I know.
Lost in time.
Yeah.
Lost in the media dynamic changes.
No kidding.
And yet he loved all the things Scott loved. Gurdjieff. He studied all the things Scott was into.
Yeah, I was thinking we could do another. You could do another hour or two with him just on metaphysics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guy's got seven. He's got 150 books on metaphysics, and he admitted that that's been his. That's his main love.
Yeah.
It would be really cool to get in there with him and find out. You know, talk with him about his adventures in that area. Who he respects and why and so on and so forth.
I think he puts it into his poetry and writing, though. He'd want to read his novels and poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he'd...
Yeah.
I don't know. He would have different opinions about the books. I don't know if that would be profitable, just doing...
All the teachers. I mean, there's 100. He must have explored at least 100 teachers, and
He mentioned Bud.
I mean, look at how much he had to say about Gert.
He mentioned a couple of authors that have done a lot of books. There may be only 20 authors in those 150 books.
Uh huh.
Like Budge, he mentioned. He's done a lot. You know, Budge.
No.
They were the. You see, he's totally of his period. Those were the theosophical books that were coming out in the teens and 20s and 30s. Garrett used to have a few of those.
Right.
So it was new for, you know, Christian people to look into the occult like that.
Right.
Okay, what were you going to say, the other thing?
But not just, you know, read the books he's read, but follow his, what conclusions does he come to? What is his personal philosophy?
He doesn't, he uses the great I don't know. He doesn't, he seems to go with not making a decision.
Well, he definitely said that there are some that he didn't like and some that he does like. So you could whittle away at that, and it would be interesting to get into, you know, find out what his, well, I guess, yeah, if you're going to.
So we do an interview with him where he goes and looks at his books and talks about them.
Yeah, I don't know if he would do an interview based exactly on that proposal, but you could get him going once you get him philosophizing, you know, ask him questions and get him, start opening him up like a, you know, can of worms.
But I thought we got a few of his general principles, like about happiness. You can't tell if someone's happy, you have to rely on yourself, go in, or otherwise it just becomes you're talking about the cosmic.
Right.
That's just basic. He probably, I mean, bought a place in the country out nowhere. He probably thought the world was going to blow up in the 70s. He seems to me he's totally in the Thompson quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right. See, he didn't even ask him if he'd heard of William Rowan Thompson.
Yeah, that might be something to mention. He said about Krishnamurti, it was interesting. He said, well, everybody was talking about Krishnamurti across the country.
I know. But we never really found out what he thought about Krishnamurti. He's got stories to tell.
Right. Well, the way he said that shows that he was into the New Age, early New Age, Aquarian conspiracy stuff, because... not many people knew Krishnamurti was something to talk about, you know. But there was a small part of the population, tiny part, who knew about him.
Right.
And that's the world that he's in. And Garrett was sort of in that world, too.
And Worcester was in that world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll send him, maybe I'll send him the Worcester interview and see what he thinks of it. He could listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty well finished. Here, I'll read.
See, I mean, I never really got a sense of... You know, you mentioned, you knew a really good medium, but what does he think of mediums? He might not even like mediums, or he might like mediums. I'd just be interested to find out what he thinks about. He might think that Worcester's approach is valid, or he might not.
Yeah, well, I think he's a humanist, so he would tend towards not depending on mediums too much.
Uh-huh.
You know, he would he'd probably be a little skeptical, but had done, looked into it, and recommend one or two.
Right.
Yeah, I listened to his interview again, and it's pretty clear what he is, it seems to me, coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But that.
I mean, what's the deal with
he's in
you
the
know,
Crowley.
Like, no, we
he's
haven't produced
him.
Yeah.
He's in the Crowley.
I know, although he did, but not totally, because he did mention that Crowley had a dark side or a demonic character. So he probably, you know, be interesting to surf the edges of what he, you know, where he is, where he would be trepidatious about Crowley, or where he would dive into Crowley.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking for something here. I want to read you my intro to Worcester, to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Okay, so I did a basic outline, and then I called Dave to give me some little facts, fine-tune it.
Right.
So it goes like this. On page 197 of Donna Cossey's book, Kooks, 1994, she writes, now Donna's just down the street from you.
From me?
Yeah, she's Nenslow's wife, the guy I kept telling you to look up.
Oh, yeah.
She lives in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So she writes in this book called Kooks, quote, perhaps the oldest living channeled voice, cosmic awareness first identified itself through the body of former Army officer William Ralph Doobie in 1962. When asked, what is cosmic awareness? It answered, total mind that is not any one mind, but is from the universal mind that does not represent any unity other than that of universality. End of quote. A year later, it instructed its listeners to form the Organization of Awareness, composed of 144 entities on the inner plane called Essence. Essence in quotes. Upon Doobie's death in 1967, the organization splintered into seven groups, each claiming to represent the authentic voice of cosmic awareness. The largest of these, Cosmic Awareness Communications in Olympia, Washington, continues to hear cosmic awareness, but through a new channel, Paul Shockley. End of quote. So that's what she basically has in the book. Doesn't go into much else. So I say, as far as the accuracy concerning those involved in the awareness movement, there is much more precision required than meets the eye here. First off, the organization did not splinter into two or more groups. There were three more channelers of cosmic awareness after Doobie. David E. Worcester, 1967 to 74, Dan Spivey, 72-73, and Paul Shockley, 75-95. Note that Dan Spivey channels the same time as Worcester, same period, you know, shorter, but in the same zone. That should make people wonder what that is. I knew Worcester and Shockley well, but only met Spivey once, and that was before Spivey became a channel for cosmic awareness. Worcester felt that the information coming from Shockley was filtered too much through Shockley's persona. Worcester says he has a means by which that never happens in his channeling. I tended to agree with Worcester, even though I continued to read Shockley's published newsletter, Revelations of Awareness. Worcester had been a draftsman troubleshooter for the Matador missile at Glenn L. Martin Company in the 50s, then a designer at John Graham Company for the first shopping centers, before becoming a rare coin dealer in the early 60s. He retired from regular employment in 1967 when he became a channel for cosmic awareness. I am biased toward Worcester and became a close friend because I found his mind produced an original and challenging discovery. Now here's the interesting paragraph. The psychic and philosophical action of Worcester began in 1957 when he became president of Bob and Connie's Center of Integration in Seattle. I put Bob Carr's last name in brackets, so it's Bob Carr and Condi's, that's his male friend, Keeler is in brackets. But I got the Bob and Connie in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
L. Ron Hubbard spoke in the nude there in early 57. The other Hubbard, A.M., Captain Trips, in quotes, in brackets, Captain Trips, operating out of the Hollywood Hospital in New Westminster, British Columbia, studied the effects of Sandoz LSD on the sophisticated and learned members of the center from 57 to 60. This was the scene of the first stereo musical, ecological, and non-medical sessions, 5 years before Tim Leary's first journey on LSD. Many of those participants, some working for the CIA, including Ralph Doobie, became members of the later awareness movement. So that's the amazing thing about Dave. His group was the first group to to be given LSD in a non-medical situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave was the one who discovered, it was Dave doing his trips that got Elliot Craig, the CIA guy, gave him his acid to get in touch with A.M. Hubbard and say, you got to come down and see what we're doing here, led by Dave. So Dave would lead them in very interesting trips, and they were the first people to use stereo music. And it was a year before people had stereo music, but their CIA guys had the stereo musical instrument. And they developed principles like you never talk to anybody. You don't ask anybody questions when they're on LSD. So they developed this whole ecology, which is not known.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, led by David Werster, this tiny group was the first to express synchrony as understood by me. They began to see their, maybe I should, as I understand it, maybe that's how I should write it, as I understand it.
Yeah.
They began to see their particular gestures and lingo expressed in the media in quotes, usually 3 weeks after their particular psychodramas. I met Werster in the late 60s and subsequently puzzled over this, quote, megalomaniacal, unquote, attitude articulated so eloquently by him. Now, we the people have to wrestle with the same xenarchy. We the people in big letters. There's not a meme, in brackets, cultural habit, that Werster hasn't looked into. And he has set an example for me in our encounter with a post-information environment. On October 20th, 1988, Werster and I were videotaped for 2 hours discussing this almost blackout history. Mr. Werster is to me as Tim Leary was to Robert Anton Wilson. Let Mr. Werster explain. What do you think of that?
That's very good.
Yeah.
I sure wish you could, on your way to, if you left a week early, you could stop in Portland. I could drive you up there and we could spend the day with him, do an interview.
With Dave?
Yeah, and then you'd fly down to L.A. and meet Jerry, or fly down to San Francisco and meet Jerry.
But we're doing one now, and we've actually come up with a topic for the next dialogue with him. This would be about the... I noticed I re-looked at the interview I did 20 years ago, and I did that interview the day before I did Zappa.
Really?
Yeah, it was the day before.
On the phone? Did you do it on the phone?
With Werster? No, we were in L.A. We did. We videotaped it.
Oh, yeah, he used to live in Venice, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And Jerry was there, and we got some people, and we did it in what was called the Comeback Inn.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Comeback Inn? Do you recognize that name?
No, I don't think so.
That was like near Albert Kinney and where Jerry had the Venice Library, a little side street in that area, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So what was I saying about this? Did I finish October 20th? In that interview he says that we assumed we might do a part two, and he said he would like to go more into the people and personalities and events at the center of integration. So I told him the other day that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. Not in video, but audio, and go into that period.
Mm-hmm.
Because there it is. This is the first LSD breakthrough way of dealing with it. I mean, there's a documentary that Art McKay, the guy in Nova Scotia who's in the picture of us going to the Zappa concert in Halifax, he was a sound man in a documentary where they said that Al Hubbard taught the clinical guys like Humphrey Osmond and orthomolecular inventor, I forget his name, taught those guys that if they bring in music in a more pleasurable environment, they'll get a different effect. Be a better kind of LSD experience.
Right.
So I said to Art, that sounds like Werster. So I asked Werster, didn't you tell me that you created that? And he said, yeah, we were the ones who created a better way of doing LSD.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you had to do it for a couple of years before you're allowed to do it recreationally. In their group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a whole story about LSD that nobody knows.
Right.
So what was I going to look? Okay. Oh, yeah, I've got to fix this.
So in your experience, did you ever experience anybody channeling, these other guys channeling cosmic awareness?
Only Shockley.
Shockley, not Doobie?
I wasn't around Doobie.
Mm-hmm. So when Shockley did cosmic awareness, did it feel like the same cosmic awareness to you?
No, not really. I mean, maybe I never did it in person, but I read all his readings from the beginning.
Yeah.
and I may have once seen him channel.
Is he the one? He's the one where you, if you subscribe to the newsletter, you would get the Shockley.
Yeah.
Because I did that for a while back around 95 or 6, and I remember thinking that, I remember learning some interesting things, feeling that the information had an intelligence behind it, but it also was collapsing into a kind of a paranoia.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Paul Shockley's his own persona.
Yeah.
I first met him in 69, and he was taking student classes, I think. He said, he started going on about the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, which he, mainly Cosmic Awareness is known for building on the Beater stuff and talking about the Gathering Storm and the lockdown of the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and the Beast, which is what really, that was his persona. That's what he used to talk about before he was a medium. Which is interesting, eh?
Yeah.
So I just, how did I say, as understood by me? What was that phrase?
As I understand it now or something.
Oh, yeah. This tiny group was the first to express the xenochrony as I understand it. Right. As I understand it. And as I understand it, right. Okay, I just had to check that. We got to do a session tomorrow.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're getting into the croaker zone or something?
Yeah, we'll do croaker.
We haven't done much of it.
We didn't start. Well, no, we did. We didn't do croaker yet. We did the other ones. Be prior.
Okay, so you're ready for that?
Yeah, we'll do a session on croaker and then a session on
croaker.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll do that maybe next Sunday, because Monday night I get ready to fly, so probably that'll be too distracting. So we'll probably do it next Sunday. I'm glad we got Paris done so we don't have to do that next Sunday.
Right. That'll be good.
Right, and then we'll get the two in. So that would put us up to about 60?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're 58, 59, right?
Oh, let me look. Yeah, we've done 60, so that'll give us 62.
Yeah, maybe we'll do two more overall and have 64, like the I Ching and the, 64s and the DNA.
Right.
Robert Andrew Wilson makes a lot out of 64.
Right.
So, anything more about movies?
Let's see. How does Pam Wheeler spell her last name?
Wheeler.
Okay, I'm sending you an email here. Please send Pam Wheeler's phone and Carolyn's cell.
Right.
For the LA. So, hold on a sec.
Which reminds me, I might not go up to San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I might be there, or I may. What'd you say?
Why not?
Well, Jerry, he posted. He sent to a guy who put on his website that Jerry was talking about his usual characters plus J.R. Bob Dobbs, and it doesn't say me, but people know I'm associated with Jerry.
Uh huh.
If they figure out I'm there, it'll cause trouble for Jerry. So I was thinking maybe I wouldn't go up.
Oh, okay.
Not sure yet. But Jerry thinks it's not going to be a problem.
Right.
But then he thought about it later, and he said, well, it's not really important that you come up with me. We'll have fun the first 3 days before I go up there.
Right.
And I might have to do more with James and that, so.
Right.
That's why I might be there.
Okay.
Okay, so the...
Also, really loving the James Curtis...
What do you think of that?
Those are really great. Those are terrific. Have you done any since April 30th?
Yeah, May 7th and 9th. I did two this week.
Okay, so let's see. I go to Cash Flow and I go to Archive.
I'll send you the update.
Okay. Stab Miller invited you on to his National Intel Report. Did you ever do that?
No, what happened is I went on James. He thought I wasn't going to be on James' show because James would be away.
Yeah.
And then Alexia came in, and she had me on. So that's why I didn't get on, because I was on anyways. He thought he'd have me on so that I was on the station once a week.
Right.
And if I wasn't on James, he'd put me on his show, but we didn't do his show.
Oh, okay.
And that one, that show isn't. Did you hear that one with Alexia and me and him?
Yeah. Alexia kept dropping out. They had a bad phone connection.
Right. It wasn't that good of a show. I didn't get to say much. And they were just. They actually got pissed off at each other. Well, maybe it wasn't in the show, but she got pissed off at him. He came on too chauvinist in a later show or something.
Right.
Did you feel that show wasn't as good in terms of my input, or do you remember that at all?
No, yeah, I remember. It was okay with me because I got for that particular show, I got a strong feeling of, a little bit more of a strong feeling of who John Stadtmiller was.
Yeah.
And then you can counterpoint him.
Yeah.
Which is always a good contrast as well. And then I remember on the next show you complained to James that you said, "Oh, I like it better talking to you because Stadtmiller sort of was dominating the show." And then I was wondering if Stadtmiller heard that, if he started to feel like, "Hey, who's this Bob guy trying to take over my show," or something like that.
Well, Stadtmiller, he had a problem sort of with me privately to James. He case once or twice said, "Why are we having this guy on?"
Right.
He got bamboozled. But James was telling me the other day that he's calmed down the last few weeks, and he actually seems to enjoy you. You'll hear this on the May 7th show, I think.
Right.
So we've putting him through a lot of changes, you know.
Right.
So there's more to say about that, but I'll wait till you hear the thing, all of it. So you went through it in order, which is the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Built up, and it's pretty neat. I enjoy doing it in that world.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of audience, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an excellent show.
Yeah.
It's really good, you know. So, yeah, that'll be fun. I'll be renting a car when I get to L.A., so, of course, I can get you and Carolyn around to
right.
meet with people or whatever you need to do.
What day are you getting there?
I'll be there on the 25th, which is Sunday. Be arriving kind of late in the day. Probably just want to go to bed because I will have been up working all night.
Right.
Let me double check that. Sunday the 25th. Yeah, I leave here at noon. I'll probably get in around 2. And then probably have dinner with my folks and crash. And then I'll be available bright and early Monday, from, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
yeah,
Saturday.
Nice weather. Nice weather will get to the beach more or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the, okay, let me just see here. New show. I'm going to resend you the whole inventory with the latest added at the bottom.
Oh, good.
Okay, this is new message. Call it Bob Neverett. Yeah, it's sort of cute the way I have this whole other thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you told me you did the Bob Neverett because you didn't want to attract the sub-genius people.
Yeah, so don't tell anybody yet about it.
Okay.
I've told one guy on Five Body, and then I told another guy, two guys who deserve it.
Like right.
No public announcement. Sue Bone knows about it. Harry Whittier, Jameson, Art McKay, Greg Skinner, Jerry knows, and Michael Shields. I sent this to Michael Shields the other day, so he'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin.
You know, great. Robin? Yeah.
Because Jerry said that Robin was listening to all my Eben shows and older shows or something.
Right.
So I thought, well, she's. And he says she loves it. She finds them amazing. So I thought, well, let's bring her right up to date, you know.
Right.
Show her the new stuff.
Right.
So this is the same thing begins with the network Earl, then every Wednesday since January 16th, February 27th, then March, then April, May 7th and 9th. Then I have underneath best to listen to them in order and watch the progression. In the future, you could forward this to somebody. We haven't decided who yet. So it has the sentence below. best to listen to them in order and watch the progression, right?
Right.
Got music forward at least up to this point, May 9th. On May 9th, James was hoping that John wouldn't show up, and he was lucky he didn't show up because James wanted to do a whole hour on the five bodies.
Oh, wow.
And so we did the five bodies without John interrupting.
Right.
Drives James up the wall, but he's forced to put up with them because it's his network and James wouldn't be on anywhere else, and he wants to be on there. So we did a whole hour, no interruptions, so that's going to be on James's new website. He's going to make a website and feature the Brad Daly guy, his show from November 1st or whatever, which explains things to people, and then have my show explain the five bodies so people can be referred to it and we don't necessarily have to go over it all the time.
Right.
So that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's nice. In a way, I'm getting to know James a little better through his radio show.
Yeah.
I'd only seen him in person once or twice, briefly, and he seemed a little uncomfortable socially, or maybe it was me. I'm not sure. He seemed a little I couldn't read him.
Right.
I couldn't figure out who he was too well, and then but through his show you get to hear a little of his personality. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. And you know, we got Walter Board coming through him.
Right.
That's another reason maybe I should spend more time with him, because we're going to get together with Galena, the woman that Walter stayed with at the end.
Uh-huh.
The woman who, the Russian doctor, and her husband's ex KGB.
Right.
So we got L.A. meet.
You know, he stayed at, I don't know if you want to meet up with, if we have time, if you want to meet up with Randy Kopang while we're in town, but he stayed at Kopang's house for about a year.
Yeah, and they had a falling out.
Yeah.
They don't like each other. I don't know. We'll see. Randy's a waste of time. He's silly, and he's not sincere, really. He pretends he's friendly, and then he never follows up on anything he says he's going to do with me, so.
Right.
The totally ridiculous thing he did was he did these interviews with me, you know about this, transcribed them, and put all the stupid garbage words into my parts.
he interpolated words into your...
Yeah, you should read them. They're up. Probably you can find them on the internet. You should read the garble he stuck in there.
Oh, my God.
He liked big words. He stuck them in his... they were already in his part, and he started to stick them into mine to make people understand what he meant or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of interesting interviews, dialogues we did, which are kind of... maybe I'll look them up and post them anyways under the proviso that any multi-syllable words were not mine, because we do say some interesting things in there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I think, is that it? Is there anything else to say?
No, that's about it. But no, if we did, we should probably, you and Randy and I should get together at least for dinner. I'll record the conversation. That way nobody can fuck with what you said and
right.
Put it up.
But he's just into UFOs. I don't find him interesting.
Yeah.
He uses McLuhan in a bad way. I mean, I'd maybe get together with him to really chew him out in a nice way, but chew him out. And,
yeah.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
And he'll say, well, I'm just trying to upgrade the UFO community. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, he's done articles for Paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read them, but they're watered down McLuhan's nonsense thrown in with something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's not priority. We'll see how it goes. If there's a big gaping maw of nothing going on, maybe we'll...
Right.
You know, but not priority. And I'm not going to tell Mark Free I'm there, I don't think.
Okay.
If Mark finds out, that's okay, but they're not priority. My priority is James, you, and Pam Wheeler, and Jerry when he's first there, and then whoever else pops in through synchronicity, and Eben.
Right.
In fact, I got to call Eben and James and tell them.
Oh, what about Nancy Parker? We got to.
Oh, yeah, and then there's Nancy.
Got to visit her.
Yeah. So I got to phone James and Eben and tell them that I'm going to be there earlier, not later.
Yeah, so you've pretty much made up your mind that you're going to.
Yeah, I probably won't go.
Okay. All right, well.
I mean, if I think of it, you know, with you driving around there, I get around and do a lot more.
Yeah.
You see, I'll have to go up there. If I go up there, I get to speak for a few minutes and then have to watch all these films.
Right.
Do that twice, and I'll probably get tired of Jerry by the third day I'm with him or something. So I don't know if I want to spend time in the car. So, and the guy, Paul Plitzley, driving around with him, he seems to talk too fast. I've been with him at Christmas, and he kind of motor mouths or something.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't need to waste my time with it too much.
Yeah.
So the, okay, what,
Well, there'll be internet connection either through your machine or Wheeler's, or I guess I'll have it at my folks, because I'm going to be carrying that little digital tape recorder around that I use to record you and Carolyn and Evan and I.
Yeah, maybe we can get a lot of recording.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have it. I'm going to probably be able to get about 4 to 6 hours on at a clip, but then I'll have to be able to upload it to the internet in order to clear the space on that little machine so that it'll be able to keep going. That shouldn't be a problem.
You're saying you're going to, what's the word, clip? What did you say?
The thing will hold about, I think I can hold about, I would say, six to eight. I'm not sure yet. I may be able to hold as much as 6 to 8 hours of conversation before it fills up the machine,
So you'll have your computer with you to download it?
Well, I won't have my computer, but I'll be able to probably upload it either from my mom and dad's or from yours or from Wheeler's, Pam's machine. Somebody's going to have a machine. I just need to be able to periodically offload all the data, and then go good for another 6 to 8 hours.
Good. So Carol will have her computer at Pam Wheeler's.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll have mine, but I probably won't bring it out. I'll just use Carol's maybe. So.
But she'll have it. Point is, she'll have internet connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll have cell phones or whatever they are, iPhones. Mm-hmm. Carol'll have her iPhone going.
Right.
Okay. So let's leave it that.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, and we'll talk tomorrow night.
Very good. Let's see. Tomorrow I have an appointment around 2 o'clock. I should be home by 4. So if I don't...
8 o'clock.
Yeah, so if I don't call you right at 4, it'll probably be shortly after.
Yeah. So that's good, man. That gives more impetus to stay in L.A. is to be recorded doing all kinds of things. That could be good.
Yeah.
Also, I was supposed to meet Mary McLuhan up there. I told you that before, I think.
Right.
Yeah, she doesn't think she's going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
She's doing some other projects for us that are more important, and so she may not be able to get down to San Francisco. So
right.
That was another reason.
What's the name of her organization?
Marsh McLuhan Center on Global Communications.
Mm-hmm. And she's appointing you one of the...
Yeah, I'm on the board. Me and Carol are going to be on the board.
You'll be board members.
Yeah, I'm going to be something, vice president, senior vice president, and McLuhan Archive, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And let me just draw up her. Is it for or on? And McLuhan. We're just changing the website. We were working on it today. We'll have to change it. Matter of fact, would you be able to work on this? I wonder. We've got... That's interesting. Can you do what Sleeper can do? Make designs for a website and things?
It depends. I'm probably not as sophisticated as Sleeper, and also right now I'm running short on time. I'm still studying for these exams, and I've got to work and do all kinds of stuff, so I'm not really ready to commit to any sort of big projects doing web stuff right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to use the one she's already on, but maybe there'll be problems. I don't know. So maybe we'll see. It's McLuhan on Global Communications.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Global Communications.
Right.
.4.
That's the address?
No, that's McLuhan's. Just look up Marsh McLuhan Center on Global Communications. Are you doing it now?
Yeah, let me see.
What'd you say?
Hold on.
We'll see, yeah.
Marsh McLuhan Center?
Yeah, Marsh McLuhan Center on Global Communications.
Oh, yeah, here.
read Shirley Hofstadter, who's her mentor and lawyer for a major law firm, Secretary of Education under Carter, pretty influential person. So Mary's been under her wing since 81.
Oh, okay.
And look at the sponsors. It's like the Bilderbergers.
Wow.
Side there on the left, you click on sponsors, all the logos are there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's leave it that. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Oh, and so you're going to send me the phone numbers, and you're going to oh, and I just got your update on
May.
So I can yeah. Okay, great. Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, the thing is what you would do is you just go to Republic Broadcasting, go into the archives, find cash flow, click on 2008, and then they have them by month, and then you click on May. But this is quicker, but that's if you ever get lost, that's what you do.
Okay.
Because the top URL is Republic Broadcasting and what I sent you, right? The top URL.
Right. So you sent me what you sent me before, but you added May on there,
yeah.
7th and 9th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but if you lost all that, you just go to Republic Broadcasting, go into archives, hit cash flow 2008, and the months March, April, May will come up, and you just click on May, and then when it's June, you click on June.
Right.
And you'll see the URLs for March, April, May, and February are all the same, except for one little change.
Right.
So it's monthly. And the reason I put the first two up there, January 16th and February 20th, well, January 16th, is they're on a different old archive.
Right.
But and they don't seem to provide January and February in the new archive.
Oh, okay.
You just get March, April, May. Okay, so... maybe they do provide February, but they don't provide January, I don't think. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye.